How are you doing?
Hello?
This is Jason Sims calling you. How are you?
Hello?
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
This is Jason Sims calling you. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay, bye.
All right, later.
First of all, this is the second time we've attempted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a little behind the scenes that folks wouldn't know. We tried to do this once before when you were driving.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
No, and it actually was only half your fault. Has anyone ever told you that something was only half your fault?
No, it either goes one way or the other.
Part of it was my internet connection because I was on Skype at that time. But now I'm on an old-fashioned phone. You know, the kind that, like they had on Little House on the Prairie where you turn the crank.
I didn't know they had, I thought that, they wouldn't even have a phone then.
They had a phone later on. It was in later episodes, I think they had a phone.
There's a whole episode centered around getting the phone.
Yes. Yeah. So that shouldn't happen. And then I think you were going through some dead spots because you were traveling between, Montgomery and Birmingham?
Yes. Well, Mobile initially, but the dead spots were between Montgomery and Birmingham.
Yes. Yeah. I was speaking to you on the Montgomery to Birmingham leg.
That stretch.
Of the journey. So, just to get that out of the way, have I already asked you how you're doing?
The general kind, but not how you're doing at the moment.
So we've got the summary. So now let's develop the idea of how are you doing?
The first attempt. I just let the dogs out.
So we now know.
Yes, they're running around doing their thing. They've been cooped up all day. I just got home from work.
Oh, wow. So what is it that you do?
I'm a bank teller for the next 20 or so days.
You're getting ready to... Now, I should just also say that most of the people that I've spoken to, I've had little or no contact with before.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we've had a little bit of contact through Facebook.
Yes.
And things like that. And we have a common friend, Mr. Chris Davis,
mm-hmm.
in Birmingham. But you and I have never actually met.
Negative.
And other than the phone call we attempted once before, we've not spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know a little bit about some things in your life, which is different than some of the other people I've talked to, because I know you're getting ready to make a move.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I've never done anything like that, just pick up and leave kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a job yet. I just feel like I have to leave. And have you ever made a move like that?
Not exactly. See, I got married pretty young. So I never was out. There's never really a point in my life where I was out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I always had someone with me. And then the closest thing to that would have been when I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had to leave college and then move back, to where I'm from in Coleman County. I had to move back there after college. And that was the closest thing. But see, I had a wife and children. You know,
mm-hmm.
I had babies, and so I mean, it's a very different experience than, I could only imagine what it'd be like, kind of striking out on your own.
It'll be interesting. I am worried, but
yeah,
but I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
So you live in a place called Satsuma.
That's right. Yeah, it's 19 miles north of Mobile,
and that's down near the coast,
yep.
near the Gulf Coast. And so have you lived there all your life?
Yeah, pretty much. I lived in Auburn for 4 years when I was going to school there.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I went up and then I came right back down when school ended.
So how long have you worked at the bank?
June of last year.
Okay.
So just under a year.
Yeah. Had you done that kind of work before, or was that?
I mean, I was a cashier at a grocery store for 2 or 3 years, near the end of high school,
yeah.
And then on the way, during Christmas breaks in college, I'd come back and work for a week or two, And then they took me back after college when I couldn't find a job in my field.
What is your field?
Journalism.
Print journalism?
Yep.
That was my field. What were we thinking?
I know, for real. It's so funny to look at that degree in that frame on the floor in my bedroom.
See, I didn't finish, but it's like, were we just not paying attention to?
Cause I don't know.
What year did you graduate?
2010.
Okay. Wow. So I mean, I was actually in. Hold on, I'm gonna have to ask my wife, who's smarter than me. When did I leave school? 2000. Yeah, so I was like 10 years in front of you. So I don't feel so bad now. I wish I had finished. But it's
mine was the greater blunder. Like I didn't. You have an excuse to get caught to like miss the trends.
Yeah, but, maybe.
Like my magazines were folding left and right as I enrolled.
So I mean, what was your? So I mean, and again, not to. To make light of that situation, but what was your thought process going into print journalism at that time?
I just figured that there would always be papers, yeah. Like as a niche kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just kind of had faith that like I could find something.
Yeah. And you do comedy now, so I mean I would imagine you're proficient with language and interested in language.
If I think about it more, it's really just because, like, it was something that was easy and I was interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at first it was just pure laziness. It was like, I can get paid to do this.
Maybe that's why I was, maybe our thought processes weren't that dissimilar.
I don't know, but then, and then, the public service aspect of it, like, they really pump that into you your first couple years. They're like, you know, fourth wing of the government, practically,
yeah,
calling them
out.
And then
I call that the stick it to the bastard school of journalism.
I was real into that, and then I realized we don't do that much.
Yeah. And there's a symbiosis. There is definitely I don't really know how to put it, but there is sort of everybody kind of knows their. I mean, I get the sense that everybody kind of knows their place.
Yeah,
and they know the dance and the game, and you know.
I had to cover like the opening of like I did an internship in Mississippi.
Yeah.
My last semester, and I had to cover like the opening of a fire station at an airport, and it was just the most awkward. Like the PR guy was just clearly like he thought I knew the whole game. It was like this will look good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like that's not something that I was gonna have a problem with. But he was treating it as if it was something that he should be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. It's
yeah.
Just like everything felt really odd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this will be a favor later, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. It's a nice fire station.
Well, there would be times, you know, when I would be, you know, on the other side of it, when we would be doing interviews with it, because I didn't do any professional journalism, but I did student journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And before I finagled my way into creating the entertainment section for our paper, which was the fluffiest section of the paper ever.
But I didn't make mine, but that's where I was hanging out the most.
Yeah, well, we didn't have one, so I had to make one. But anyway, before that, when I was doing some student reporting, there would be times when I'd be talking to administration, you know, interviewing them, and it's almost like cops and like cops and drug dealers or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they kind of know. Well, you don't have anything on me, or you don't have a warrant, you know, so I can say this or do that. I mean, it was a weird thing, but there was that antagonism, but there also was kind of that understanding because the newspaper business depends on
access.
Yeah, journalism depends, and that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that dance happens. You got to leave access open. It's weird. It's just weird, and I got out of it. So.
Yeah, I had a hard time. That was really it, because
yeah.
I just felt like I just wrote a bunch of feature stuff. I mean, I liked not in-depth feature stuff, just kind of like current events.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all important, you know,
mm-hmm.
makes people feel like they belong to a community. But,
yeah.
You know, like that felt like that was all I was doing.
Right.
And everything was cheerleader pieces for the local government where I was writing. don't know. I enjoyed it, but then I got out.
So that's kind of where you were before mm-hmm. you're getting ready to make this move. So you're there. Other than college, which you kind of have some buffers built in, I guess, when you go away to school. And did you go up there with friends? Did you know people up there?
I went to college with a girlfriend.
Okay.
From here. So that was very helpful.
Yeah.
As far as like adjusting, you know, we went through that together. But I'm trying to think of people I knew. I lived in a studio apartment off campus my first year, which I think was a mistake. Because I didn't get that forced, socialization that
right.
you get in the dorms, you know.
Right.
So it was hard to get involved, but I eventually found my little crew once I joined the school paper.
Yeah.
But so when that band.
So you kind of had, I mean, that's sort of a very different experience than moving off to a much bigger city,
mm-hmm.
A state away, I guess.
Yeah, I feel good about it though, just because kind of like with the newspaper thing. Like as soon as I found like a community,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it really wasn't bad at all, and I think that's what the comedy would be. Like I didn't have any interests. in Auburn,
mm-hmm.
you know, so like I didn't have any way to get plugged in with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But once I started working at the paper, friendships were all over the place. And I think that's what comedy will be for me in Atlanta.
So why Atlanta, other than the fact that it's just that it's bigger?
It's small enough, like kind of like it's big enough to draw really great acts. Like there's that club, the Laughing Skull.
Yes.
They book pretty much everybody I like. And but it's also small enough to where you can progress and meet those big acts and learn from them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it's a weird market to where the amateurs and the pros mingle a whole lot. And I met Kyle Kinane, I went there for a week in January and I did a bunch of open mics and then I got to do a show like the last night I was there with Kyle Kinane. And I don't think that would happen, you know, in New York or LA or Chicago, like right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, it's just a weird little town where you can progress. And, I don't know. It just seems like the perfect spot for me.
So do you know anybody that's in the scene out there?
Yeah, I met a guy from Jacksonville. I did the... the Laughing Skull's mic like a year and a half ago, their open mic, and I met a guy from Jacksonville who we both liked each other's sets, and then he booked a show
which,
in Jacksonville.
Which Jacksonville is he from?
Jacksonville, Florida,
okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I did a show that he booked in Jacksonville like last October or something, and so we kept in touch like that, and then he moved to Atlanta like in December or November of last year. And so he's been kind of my portal into that scene, and he's been real good to like introduce me to everybody. So it's a smoother transition than it could have been if
yeah.
I hadn't met him randomly a year and a half ago.
So you're not doing like the Axl Rose Welcome to the Jungle video where you're getting off the bus with the piece of straw in your mouth.
Well,
don't know anybody.
it won't be nearly as lonely as it could have been.
Do you think that it'll be helpful too that it's being, you know, a lot, you know, being a southerner that it's a southern city?
It is a smaller jump than it could have been.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, like it doesn't feel nearly as, it wouldn't be nearly as isolated.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a 6-hour drive, I think, all together.
That's not too bad. 6 hours and.
No, it wouldn't be hard to run home with my tail
yeah.
between my legs.
Hopefully it won't come to that. You know, I'm excited for you.
Well, thank you.
and this is the time of your life to do something like that. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, yeah, and you're single?
Yeah.
And don't have really very many attachments or responsibilities there?
No.
So, I mean,
no.
That's, I mean there will be no other time in your life
you're right.
when you can do that.
That's what it came down to.
I was real, like
maybe a couple months ago, I was just sitting around kind of wallowing.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine was just like, you need to just set a date, and things will start moving for you. If you just set a date and say, that's when I'm doing it,
mm-hmm.
you'll start making moves. And that's, like I said, April 1st, like maybe 2 weeks ago. And I, you know, just kind of, like I visited in January, and I was like, I'm definitely moving here.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of was like, maybe one day. But then my buddy was like, you need to set a date and do it. And he was right. It's real motivating having
yeah.
that date.
Well, because, I mean, things get away from you. I mean, you turn around and it, and the thing that you've been intending to do, you know, it's been years and you've not done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is exciting to me because I grew up in a small, you know, I grew up in rural Coleman County in a, you know, outside a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody, I think, that grows up in a place like that, whether it's out in the South or the Midwest or whatever, and you're like a creative person, you're interested mm-hmm. in creative things, I think everybody kind of has that dream of, you know, running off to the city or running mm-hmm. off somewhere. And I'm very glad about the way my life has gone. You know, mm-hmm. I'm very thankful for my wife and my children. But that it's always neat to see somebody do that because that's a path I didn't get to take. But in some ways, the one reason why I think you should have hope is because the path that I did take and the path a lot of people take, such as getting married kind of young, so we were married at 18, we had our first child at 20, second child at 22,
mm-hmm.
that was kind of our moving to Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it happens to you, like it just,
yeah.
it comes and it happens to you, and now you're there, and, you know, of course, you know, had family and support and things like that, which was wonderful, but the thing is, things are going to happen to you anyway,
mm-hmm.
so whether or not if you just sit back and don't take any risks or don't do anything, things still going to happen to you. So you might as well make some of those risks, things that you want to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really exciting. I'm going to look forward to kind of, you know, seeing you, you know, post on Facebook and whatnot about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping I won't get obnoxious.
Well, if you do, yeah. I'll just unfriend you.
Yeah, keep me in check.
We'll have a code word. What can our code word be? Let's see.
Satsuma.
It could be Satsuma. Let's use a journalism term. Let our let's see.
You could spell lead LEDE.
Or head HED.
Yeah.
Or
just like any antiquated AP
yeah,
style.
I'll
thing.
Use
like website just got changed.
I'll just make a reference to the AP style book.
There you go. That's something I don't miss. It's just like the. Like the fake freakouts over like changes.
Yeah.
Just it's the smallest like website used to be two words.
Yes.
With a W capitalized.
Do you ever find yourself still kind of like when you go to write like AM or PM or you use the word linoleum? You could have used the word linoleum. You kind of have a little bit of a freakout.
Does linoleum have to be capitalized?
Well, you had to be careful because linoleum's a brand name.
Ah, that's
and
right.
You had to make sure you're actually referring to linoleum. I think, I don't know if this was the AP style book. I just had like a flash of memory. I don't know if this was the AP style book, but there was another book, maybe, that had all these racial slurs in it you're not supposed to use. Is that in the AP style book?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of book you read.
There was some book. this may have been the Alabama edition of the
yeah.
of the AP style book. But
avoid these.
No, but the crazy thing was is it was stuff I had never heard.
Mm-hmm.
It was like racial slurs I didn't even know about. Now you're
fear not. I had no intention of using these.
Yeah, I mean it's like, but now you've told. Now I know them. I didn't even want to know them. It was. I just didn't know why they had made that book, because there were a lot of them were like really obvious. Like you would never think it was okay. Like even the ones I'd never heard of. Like just when you read it out, you're just like, how would anybody ever think this was okay to?
Yeah.
To write in a newspaper. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I don't know that I knew that you had studied journalism.
I don't know. I think it's on my Facebook.
Oh well, maybe I did know it.
I don't spout about it too much.
Except when you're in a bar and you've had too much. I studied print journalism.
I was gonna be something.
Because
you know, like the natural follow-up question is like, oh, well, what paper do you write for?
Yeah.
None.
The bank.
Yeah, the bank.
Yeah.
It's funny having family, like, try and spin it when I get jobs that aren't newspaper stuff, because mm-hmm. they're like, well, you could write the newsletter. Like, and they mean it.
Right.
You could write the internal newsletter for the company. I say, yeah, but that ain't the same.
Right. Well, yeah, and the closest I ever came to doing that, the company I work for now, I actually used to actually, they sell appliance parts, and they had a flyer they sent out, and I used to lay that out.
They sold what?
Appliance parts.
Plots?
Appliance parts, I'm sorry.
Appliance parts.
Yeah, this is your Southern Alabama, our Southern Alabama accent and the Northern Alabama accent clashing. Yeah, appliance parts.
Gotcha.
And we had a little flyer they would send out to people they sold, customers, I think is what we call those people. People you sell things to. and
Duncan White, needless words.
Yeah, I used to lay that out, but it is not the same. And people, you know, people, they mean well when they're...
Oh, yeah. I don't hate them for it. I should say.
Yeah, I didn't hear any, like,
these jerks.
Yeah. Let me tell you about these people.
Yeah. I have an, like, I saw, I think it was yesterday, maybe, the first episode popped up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to listen to that soon and see if our format followed that one or what.
Well, here is the interesting. It's interesting you bring up hearing one of them, because now that's mm-hmm. that's going to be an issue, I think.
Yeah, influencing future callers.
Yeah, people are going. Yeah, people may. You know, we're going to get to the point now where people have heard them
mm-hmm.
before I talk to them, but that's just going to happen. There's no way around it, unless I forbid anyone from listening to this.
No, unless like you'd have to put like a big. Like you'd have to record it for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then start putting
20
them out.
Years. I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait 20 years, and I'm just going to, upon my death, start publishing these calls. Oh, me. So that means...
I guess I'm glad I didn't listen to it then.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fine.
Decide,
I mean...
I couldn't decide if you'd be let down that I hadn't checked it out already.
No, not at all. I mean,
all right.
That's the thing... I'm completely happy to let this thing have a slow burn.
All right.
You know, just mm-hmm. I want this to be a very laid back thing.
Yeah, I'm in a hammock right now, actually.
Are you really in a hammock?
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
I took the dogs out and I sat in the hammock. They're running around.
You know, if you had told me at the beginning of this call that you were in a hammock, I would have been much more relaxed.
I'm sorry.
I would have been.
If it's any consolation, I only got in the hammock about 3 minutes ago.
Okay. Well. Okay. Well. So I've only missed out on 3 minutes of hammock awareness.
Yeah. Feels nice.
How did your show in Birmingham go?
It went well. I was real happy with it. Chris is a great host.
Mhm.
Just really knows how to set it up. He gets a crowd. What did he use? He used meetup.com to, like, get a bunch of people to come out.
Huh.
And I never heard of that. Like, it's just kind of like hey, we got 7 friends, and we want something to do, and you list your events on there. You know, he got a lot of people out. It was a fun show.
The only thing I've seen him do improv mm-hmm. and run an improv show down in Birmingham, and, of course, I've seen him. He used to come up and do improv with the troupe that I was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen him perform, and he's effervescent and charming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just super. You picked the word. You said charming.
Yes.
That's what I was scrolling for. You already had it.
Charming with a capital C.
Mm-hmm.
And a capital H. I don't even know what that means. So, I'm glad this went better.
Yeah, definitely.
Your
I totally forgot that it was being recorded for a minute.
That's good. I did too.
Yeah.
I remember now, because I'm looking at this little, I'm looking at Audacity.
Did you change up your rig at all?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What'd you end up
doing? Well, I have this will be behind the scenes. I have my landline telephone,
mm-hmm.
which is the least expensive, with the time that we bought it, it was the least expensive phone I could find.
Mm-hmm.
It's a GE black and silver. Corded telephone, and then I have a this weird. It's kind of an earbud,
mm-hmm.
Except on the outside of it, it has a microphone. So it's actually recording your voice coming through the receiver into my ear, and it's kind of going through that earbud.
And it's catching your side of it, too?
Yeah, because it's catching, because I'm also in that, coming out of that receiver as well, and I'm also kind of in the room with the thing, so. And that's the way it's made. Ding!
Excellent.
Well, this has been, this is, I think, a mission accomplished on having a pleasant conversation, and I hope everything goes well with the move.
Well, thank you, sir. Hope everything goes well with the show.
Yeah, I mean, this, as long as my mission is, I mean, this is my fourth one now. Fourth successful call, and they've all been pleasant and interesting to me, and hopefully they'll be interesting to other people. And that's the mission. As long as I can upload them and the server that I upload them to doesn't catch on fire, I think that's success.
Right on. My stepdad's yelling. About the dog. He's calling me. He said, no, I'm on the phone.
This is true audio verite. Yeah. Well,
there's also like a Big Tent revival going on about two blocks from here. Like you can hear the guy, like it's outside.
Yeah.
And you can hear the guy. And then there's a baseball game across the street, like a softball game. So like there could have been some cool sounds in the background.
Yeah, that would make an interesting sound collage.
Mm-hmm.
It probably would be hard to tell the difference between the two at certain points.
Yeah. One time. My pit.
Right. Swing batter, swing batter.
Save. That would be
yeah, safe. Yeah, safe. Oh, well. Okay, Kevin. Thank you so much.
All right.
And tell your dogs and stepdad I said hello.
Will do.
All right, and have a pleasant journey to Atlanta.
You too. Or right. Not.
Well, after you open your own comedy club there in Atlanta, I will come and visit you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope you have a good journey there then.
All right.
All right.
Goodbye.
Take care.